Weight loss solutions are not one-size-fits-all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert-guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits started just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Welcome to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, where we talk about money because there's more than just math to your finances. Let's get talking. Hello, and welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. In today's episode, we're talking with Linda Grizzly all about the money mindsets and scripts and how we can recognize and change our own. We're going to be talking from the very beginning and help everyone understand how our parents and those around us play a role in our money script. Also, one of the surprising insights that I was able to take away from today's conversation is how much insight there is into how much other people play a role in impacting your view on money. While your parents are important in teaching you and how you learn how to handle money, there's also so many other people around you that impact how you view your money, like your friends, your parents' friends, and your friends' parents, your neighbors, or even coaches in your life. We're all learning how to handle money from everybody around us, so make sure you think about that when you're thinking about your money script and money story. I also want to let everyone know to head over to SkylarFleming.com and make sure to sign up for my email list. I'd love to start reaching out to people via email and connecting that way as well. So I'm looking to send out some stories from the episodes or potentially others' podcasts that I get to go on in case you're looking for more financial podcasts to listen to. But let's get into today's episode with the money talking points. The money talking points for today's episode are you in control with your money? And two, what is the bigger picture that you need to shoot for? With the money talking points in mind, let's get right into today's episode. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's interview on Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Joining me today, I have Linda Grizzly, and we're talking about money scripts and your story, changing them, and all the fun stuff around the things that go into our views on money. So, Linda, thanks for joining me. Would you introduce yourself for everyone?
Sure. Thanks for having me, Skylar. So, Linda Grizzly, and I'm a mindset and money mindset and mentor. And I'm also a financial planner in another part of my life. But what we're talking about today is my passion for guiding people through transformational journeys with their money mindset. And that came about because when I was working with clients as financial planning, I saw them having these self-imposed obstacles to their financial growth. And I did a deep dive into understanding what that meant and where that was coming from. And then I realized, you know, my own money story that I had, what I had growing up and how I had changed it over time. And it really got me interested in helping others in mastering their money mindsets and moving forward so that they can be more successful.
Awesome. That's very interesting. I think that's one of the things that can be so impactful for people once they realize their own viewpoint. And like you said, some of those self-imposed hurdles that you don't actually realize are there. So today's conversation is going to be great. I want to kind of start with your beginnings, though, with a couple of questions here of how has your view on money growing up impacted your view on money now?
Right. So growing up, I was in a lower class, like lower middle class household, and we didn't talk about money. I don't even know that my parents talked about money a lot. I think that we just lived paycheck to paycheck and whatever money we had, we spent. There wasn't a lot of saving that I was aware of. And it was really kind of a scarcity mindset at times where, you know, we were scraping and we were making sure that we weren't spending too much. I knew that my friends were doing things more than me or had more than me, but I didn't really think about it because nobody talked about it. So it was just kind of like this awareness, and those early experiences like impact how your relationship is with money as you get older, right? They stick with you because that's what you learned. That's what you knew. And whether you talked about it or not, there's things that you learn, there's things that you just feel, right, as you're living them.
That makes total sense, because like you said, if you didn't talk about it at all, then you really weren't sure what was going on. How did you ever come to learn your parents' view on money, and how did that impact your view? How did your parents make you think about money now?
So the funny thing is that I didn't really realize my parents' view on money until recently, right? So after I started my career as a financial planner and they got older and I started helping them with their finances is when I really realized what their outlook on money was. And they're separate now. They've been divorced for over 40 years. But it's really interesting because they still have the same mindset they've always had. There hasn't been any work to change that. And, you know, they have very different, very, very different money mindsets. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my dad is very scarcity. Like, he always thinks he's never going to have enough. You know, he hoards cash in, you mm-hmm. know, an envelope. And, you know, he's always worried about how he's going to afford something when really he's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. And my mom, on the other hand, is always looking to figure out where she's going to get more money from, because whatever she has, she spends. So they're very different. But it's obvious to me that they never really realized that they had a money mindset and that they never worked on it to figure out what that meant or make any changes to it.
Which one do you think stuck the most with you? Because I imagine you probably took one way or the other. Was there one that or was it a combination of both, or was there one that you think really stuck with you the most?
I think it was a combination of both, and therefore it was kind of conflicting, right? But I did have that scarcity mindset. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I can say is that my father mainly really encouraged me when I was, you know, preteen, whatever, to do jobs around the house and work for money. So I did learn that hard work pays. And so I did have drive and ambition in that sense. But I also learned that you have to work hard to make money. And there was not really a lesson about how you can leverage things or find ways mm-hmm. to make money other than what you're putting into it.
So it seemed like, did the money conversation kind of stop short at just how do you get the money?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
That's really interesting because, yeah, like you said, you learned how to work hard for it, but there's a lot to do after that. I mentioned on one of my recent episodes of the common thing that we're taught is spend less than you make or live below your means. And then I brought up the point of like, well, what do you do with that space between where you're living and your means, like that extra gap that you're doing? Do you just throw it in cash and things like that? So that's really interesting because I think a lot of people probably have that sort of a view of what do you do beyond the money that you get and the extra money that you get and things like that. So that's awesome. It's interesting to hear as multiple people have that story. It all comes in a different way too. Like it's not always the same. So awesome. Let's move into talk about money scripts a little bit more and money stories for people. What is a money script?
So a money script is it's basically the story or that you tell yourself or that you've learned over time. So the money script comes from everybody that you've been involved with in your life, right? So it is your parents. We already talked about that a little bit. And from them, it can be things that they directly taught you. Like maybe they did teach you to save, you know, a certain portion of your money, but maybe they didn't. Modeled behaviors. What are they doing? So even though they're teaching you something and they're saying one thing, if they're doing another, they're modeling a behavior and you're learning from that. It's that environment at home, whether you're talking about money or not. And also values and beliefs. What's important to people about money? You learn that. And it all comes from like everything that's in your environment. So it can be your parents, your grandparents, it can be friends, it can be family members. A lot of us spent a lot of time at friends' houses and saw what their parents did as much as we saw what our own parents did. So there are stories that are involved there. And then you can get into like teachers at school and coaches. If you were involved in anything with a coach, coaches actually instill a lot of values and beliefs in us too and model behaviors, as well as just anybody that's been in our lives, right? Neighbors, things like that. We learn from everything that's going on. So those scripts are what you tell yourself based on those experiences. And there's a few major ones that are common. The scarcity mindset, believing that there's never enough. avoiding money because you think that there's negative emotions with money, like money is used for bad things. You know, money is the root of all evil is the common thing you hear. But then there's like money worship, thinking that if you could only get more money, you'd be happy. When really happiness comes from within, it doesn't come from the money. Does it make things easier sometimes? Yes, but sometimes it makes things harder, actually. You know, it's those types of things that are the money stories. And there's a lot of them, and everybody has a different one and combinations of them. But uncovering what they are is the first step in figuring out how to make a change and transform that relationship with money.
Awesome. Well, let's get into how to identify them in just a second. I wanted to dive into the worship one a little bit more that you mentioned, because I think scarcity and avoidance maybe make a little bit of sense just naturally at face value. But this worship one, I don't think I've heard before. So I was wondering, when you say worshiping money and they feel like they always have to get more, and the happiness piece is what really caught my attention, how do you think maybe more money makes it harder? Like, how do you think that worship money script falls short in that aspect?
So the common thing that you hear in like a money worship, you know, how I said, like, for the money avoidance, it's money is the root of all evil. The money worship is kind of like the keeping up with the Joneses, right? So it's trying to show that success and be as successful as the other people around you. So it can lead to like poor spending habits, in the sense that you're always buying something, always trying to show it off. So if you think of like the millionaire next door, that's modeled after someone who lives within their means, has like a, you know, I say a regular lifestyle, whatever regular means, right? But they actually have money in the bank and saved, but they don't outwardly look like they're a millionaire. Whereas like the money worshipers are people who maybe have fancy cars, nice houses, dressy clothes, the brand name purses, things like that, but they might not be saving any money. They might actually be, you know, financially struggling because they're just trying to keep up with that lifestyle. And that's where you get into that, like, just constantly trying to keep up and not having a healthy mindset, because you're always trying to do better. And then you struggle with that because you're not, mm-hmm. you know, you're not financially healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, the money doesn't always make you happy, but it's almost getting to the point where when you're spending all that to look like you're $1 million, you're more frustrated with it because you know the money's not there. So I thought that was really interesting, because the happiness isn't going to come from the items that you save. Like, sure, I guess having a lot of money could make you happy because then you feel secure and stable, but having a lot of money and spending all that money isn't probably going to make you happy. So there's a lot of different views to take on happiness and money, and that's a whole different conversation. So let's move into identifying people's money scripts. So they've heard these three ideas and they're thinking, oh, do I have one of those? How do they identify their money script?
Yeah. So the first place to start is just thinking about like what your relationship is with money. So you can look for triggers and things that you do. For instance, people that you know, that shop when they're stressed out are like self-soothing. They're getting that rush of endorphins by like shopping for something, right? Reflecting on your upbringing and thinking about the money stories that you were taught can help, like starting with like, where did my money story come from? Even if you don't know what it is, thinking about what your experiences with money were, maybe thinking back even to like, what was my earliest memory about money? When did I first have my own money to spend? Or when did I first have a feeling that, you know, people around me were arguing about money or having a good conversation about money? What did I experience? And then in your current financial behaviors, besides like the triggers for like shopping or things like that, like, are you paying attention? Are you keeping within a budget? And I sometimes don't like to use the word budget because it's looked at so negatively, like I'm going to have to like hold back on what I'm spending, which is another mindset in itself, but more like cash flow, like you were talking about, as you get more money, you spend more money. I think you mentioned something about that, but you can get into what's called lifestyle creep. Whereas if you get a raise or you get a better job, you just start spending more. So you just start, your lifestyle just keeps going up and up, rather than sticking with the same lifestyle, being comfortable in it and saving that other money away. So you're looking for things that you're doing, patterns. You're looking for emotional reactions. And then, you know, once you figure out like those types of things, you can start to think about, okay, what are my values and what are my goals and priorities? and then start reframing things to focus on better habits.
Awesome. I really like the question you have in there about reflecting on your upbringing. Like, where did you see money? What did they do with money? Because one story that I'll often share, and I love when people get to that root, especially in conversation, because I think that brings out a lot of fun insights for people. So like if someone's having a money talk with someone and they share that initial first money memory, like for me, one of the main ones I have is reflecting on like when my parents would fill up the car with gas, they would send someone in with just a $20 bill. And that left an impression on me that I always wanted to be secure enough to have enough money to always fill up a full tank of gas. And something like that, as I've thought about it more and more, I'm like, wow, that's a very early money memory, but it's impacted every year after that to make sure I at least have $50 or whatever. Like, I never want to be to the point where there's only very little money that I have to use whatever I can find and just go with that. So I love that question. I think that can be extremely helpful for people identifying their money script. But have you ever changed your money script, or how can people do that?
So I did change my money script, and I didn't realize that that's what I was doing, or that's what it was called when I was doing it. I just came to a point in my life where I knew that I needed some sort of drastic change to improve my lifestyle. I was at a point where I was recently divorced. I was working in a job that I loved the actual job, but the circumstances and the culture there were just killing me. And I knew I needed to do something drastic. So I set out to just basically on a personal growth journey. And really what happened was, is I just really opened my eyes to everything that was really going on around me, kind of got out of my little tunnel vision of my life and, you know, started reading, started researching, just trying to figure out like how am I going to grow so that I can get ahead. And it really was just expanding my mindset overall. And being in that growth mind, opening up my mind to growth, being in that growth minded set, right? And it really changed my life a lot, and which is one of the reasons why I do this now in helping people with their mindsets, because I want them to do it and I want to help them get through it faster than I did, with less mistakes than I did.
Yeah, that's the fun part about all these conversations. It's like, take what I say I did wrong, take what all my guests say they did wrong, and don't do it. Like, take what we say we did right and iterate on that and keep going with that. You said one thing in there that caught my attention of doing a bunch of research to really open up your mind, open up your knowledge base to a whole bunch of different options. How do you think that's beneficial? That's something I talk about on my podcast. It's like, listen to my show, listen to other money shows, and take all those different ideas you hear and then figure out what you want to do. Because I think it's a little dangerous if we just get like in tunnel vision with one resource. How do you think it was helpful for you to do like a lot of different research to expand your mind?
Yeah. So I read books and I went to, you know, some group, like I did I went to a book mastermind on one of John Maxwell's books. And I think what really happened was, is that the things that I was reading about or learning about, they had their own version of it. Right. So like in one of the John Maxwell, things that I went to, they were talking about the law of the lid, and it talks about how if you put, you know, flies in a jar or something, that they're going to learn that the lid is there. It's kind of like the elephant who you tie him to a stake, and then he just thinks that he can never move, right? That's the mindset that they get. But it made me realize that this law of the lid, they were talking about it in one sense, but I applied it to something completely different, in the sense that where I was at, I was never going to get ahead, because the people that were around me were not ever going to get ahead. And so if they weren't going to get ahead, then I wasn't going to get ahead. And it really made me realize that I had a lid on where I was at the time, and that I needed to remove that lid and make a change. So I was able to apply that knowledge that I was learning to how it actually fit into my life and my circumstance where I was at that time, even though it wasn't exactly the lesson that was being taught.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly what I'm hitting on when I say listen to so many different sources and take what you want to hear, or take what you're hearing and apply it to what's helpful. Because you mentioned right in the beginning here, it's like, oh, you don't really like to say the word budgeting. And maybe that's what clicked with someone. And then they caught your couple ideas after that. And that's all they take away. So there's so much like knowledge out there and sources and things like that, that you applied the law of the lid, even though it wasn't maybe there wasn't a physical lid over you, but you were able to adapt it to what was going on around you. So that's fantastic. So let's say someone's getting to that point where they're realizing their script is holding them back. It's maybe they've heard a term that clicked with them. What can they do to change it?
So there's lots of programs out there. I have one myself, where you can join in either a group or one-on-one coaching and actually have someone help you through it. Journaling helps, reading books helps. Just acknowledging it and trying to figure it out is the first step, right? Sometimes you can get through that on your own. I got through it on my own, but with the help of books and other things and other people that I was talking to about it. It's just a matter of what works for you. There's lots of information out there though, that you can help get you started.
Awesome. Yeah. There's lots of resources out there. Just start talking to people. Ultimately, that'll be fantastic. One thing that came to my mind is I think we often look at things like money mindset or maybe these money scripts where we're saying, oh, you have this mindset and you always need to change it. Is there ever someone that's beneficial for somebody? And how do they like take advantage of that to stay on track? Or are they always something we need to change?
Yeah, there's definitely positive money beliefs, right? Positive attitudes about money. Let's see, we talked about the money is the root of all evil, right? So the opposite of that is, if I have a lot of money, all the good that I can do with money through philanthropy and helping other people, right? So that's like the exact opposite. So if somebody's growing up with a mindset that money is the root of all evil, they're probably not going to have money. They're probably going to give, that gives them an excuse for being poor, excuse for not having money, because then that means they're not evil. But if they grow up and they are they're believing that, you know, money is what, you know, share the wealth and give it away and help people, then it's a positive thing around money. Obviously, then a frugality and savings mindset is good, if it's not to the extreme. Really, any extremes are not really ever good, right? But as long as you're living within your means, like you said, budgeting wisely or paying attention to your cash flow is like the words that I like to use. And then you know like where you're going and what you're doing, and you have savings and you're saving for emergencies and things like that.
Fantastic. One thing I just took away is if you're in control with your money, I think that's when you can feel like you're in a positive mindset. Because I think the other ones you described of like worshiping money, not feeling like there's going to be enough or that you want to get rid of all of it, that's going to lead you to lose control of your money. Like your mindset's going to dictate what you're doing with your money, and you're going to feel like, where did all my money go? But if you're in control of it and you know what's happening with your money, I think that can be an identifier to say, hey, I'm in a healthy mindset and a healthy relationship with money right now. So that's a great place for people to start. Think through both of those. Like, do you feel like you're in control with your money or not? And then think through some of the different mindsets that we've mentioned. But to wrap it up here, and we'll make sure to hear where people can learn more about you right at the end. But to finish up here, what's one thing you wish you would have known sooner when it comes to money?
I wish I would have just realized the bigger picture sooner. So I wish I would have thought bigger, saw bigger, and opened up my mind to that idea that there's all these other things that go along with money. It's not just the numbers themselves.
Awesome. Someone's going to take away something from that for sure. There's been a lot of great things in this episode. So thank you so much for joining. There's been a lot of great things from the different money mindsets, how you can identify it, and some positive mindsets. And then that last thing is, everyone listening, realize there's more to money than just math. That's what I like to say. So Linda, thanks for joining. Where can people find you or learn more about you?
They can find me at my website, mindsetandmoney.com. And from there, there's links and more information, and they can reach out to me there.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining. This has been a fun conversation.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to today's interview, and thank you again to Linda Grizzly for coming on today's episode. I want to talk about the money talking points now, and maybe let's start with the first one. Are you in control with your money? Well, I feel like my wife and I are. We talk about it regularly, we know our goals that we have, and we're hitting our savings target with said goals, so our money's working for us, and it's nice to feel in control with our money. But what if you don't feel in control? Well, I think a great place to get started is just by tracking it. What gets measured gets managed is the saying, so make sure you're tracking your money so you're measuring where it's going, and make sure to start small. You don't have to do it all at once. I think that's one thing that people get in their heads about, is they feel like they have to do it all at once. They need to get from out of control to in control overnight, and that's just not how it happens. The second money talking point, what is the bigger picture that you need to shoot for? I'm not sure for me what the bigger picture is right now, and that's okay. I liked this point from Linda in today's interview, and she wishes that she would have realized the bigger picture sooner. So I think this is a great chance for you to sit down and have a money talk with someone about what is that bigger picture. Maybe it's with a spouse or a friend where you say, what's the next big thing for me, or something like that. And I think this is in line with Tom Kosnick's episode where he also realized that the mountain that he was thinking is way off in the distance is much closer than he thought. So that goes hand in hand with this money talking point, is what's the bigger picture that you need to shoot for? What do you need to go for, and what do you need to take that leap and bound to really get there and make it happen? So that's the money talking points for today's episode. Next, I want to talk about the handy hint. The handy hint for today's episode is money worship, and it's something I wanted to talk about a little bit more because you heard in the interview that I wasn't quite sure what she meant by it, but I've come to understand it a little bit more. It's wanting to look like we're a millionaire. It's wanting to make us keep up with the Joneses. That's money worship. It's making sure we have money and we want to bow down to money and we want to make sure we're getting money and looking like we have money. But often what I'm thinking is that keeping up with the Joneses makes it so you look like you know how to spend $1 million, but you don't actually know how to keep that kind of money, because it's more impressive to be able to keep and have a $1 million net worth than it is to be able to spend it. Everyone can spend that much money. So it's more impressive when you're able to keep that much money and be able to make that much money work for you and do what you want to do in your life. But let's talk about the Money Talk Mastery next. So in today's Money Talk Mastery segment, I wanted to talk about positive money mindsets. And I'm going to list all of the ones I have written down here off, and then we'll go through each one. So here's what I had listed: abundance, gratitude, generosity, self-worth, growth, empowerment, financial independence, planning, and adaptability. Let's start at the top there with abundance. And this is the mindset where there's enough to go around. You know that you're going to be able to enjoy abundance, and so will everybody else. And I wanted to make sure to emphasize the importance of not hoarding your abundance here, which I think leads greatly into the gratitude and generosity mindsets. Because when you're grateful for what you have, that's when you can have that gratitude mindset. And that's when you turn to generosity to be willing to share with other people the knowledge you've learned and the knowledge that you have so that you can help other people get to the point where you are. So many other people on podcasts, books, creating content are hopefully like this, where they're being generous with their knowledge. And like I mentioned in today's episode, when we get to the point where we're listening to what others have done well, we're iterating on that and we're doing better with that, and then we're listening to what other people haven't done well, or maybe their failures and stuff like that, and then you're staying completely away from that, and that's really awesome. So as we teach each other and we're generous with our knowledge, that allows us to all do better together. And then the self-worth money mindset, I think this one goes directly in line with not keeping up with the Joneses. It's knowing that you have value by yourself and that you don't need things to make you happy. It's not chasing a number just for status. It's really knowing that your worth is in what you're deciding to do with your time and with your money. But let's talk a little bit about ones that can help you get going further and farther and help you reach those big goals. And one of those is a growth mindset. And this is a common one that I think you hear a lot, along with abundance. But growth is continually learning. It's finding a hobby that challenges you and makes you want to learn new things. For me, it's my podcast. It's challenged me to talk to random people about money. It's challenged me to build an audience, to build a community, to create websites, to create content, things like that. For my wife, one of her challenging hobbies is sewing. It's challenged her to learn how to sew a shirt, learn how to sew a dress, learn how to fix things like that. So find a hobby that can challenge you, and that's how you can have a growth mindset. Another one that I think is important is empowerment, and that's just really feeling confident that you can reach your goals. And when you're empowered to reach them, that's when you're feeling in control with your money. Another one is financial independence mindset, and that's knowing that you can become independent from a job and striving to work towards that work optional lifestyle where your money is what's really going to get you to wherever you want to go. And once you get to that financial independent point and you know that you can do it, that's when work becomes optional, which is also a great book, by the way. It's called Work Optional. I highly recommend anyone go out and listen to it. Two more mindsets are planning and adaptability. Planning is making sure you're knowing that you're ahead of what is coming and setting clear goals and having clear strategies to achieve them. And then a mindset of adaptability is what allows you to be open to new options, listen to what others have to tell you, and be willing to learn. So you're willing to adapt your systems and your goals and your strategies to get there. And those are all some great mindsets in today's Money Talk Mastery segment. Let's wrap up today's episode next. Thank you so much to Linda Grizzly for coming on today's episode. I hope you were able to take something away from this show, and I hope that you're able to continue coming back, so please make sure to subscribe. Also, let me know what you thought. Send me an email or go to skylarfleming.com/feedback. I would love to know what you thought about today's episode or any episode that you've listened to. But please make sure to subscribe and head over to skylarfleming.com. That link is also in the show notes. Check out my website. I'd love to hear any feedback. But thank you so much for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details. Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Installed by independent contractors. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.